Yes, and we are at the home of said miracle, Fenway Park. It is Rich Certainly, Ken Laird. We got Rob Bradford coming in, Christian Arcan.
Yeah. Was that from Les Mis?
Of course, yes. It's the that was the Les Mis and the Masshole version.
Okay.
Of Les Mis. It's a wonderful day out here where it just is overcast and the fire alarm just went off at Fenway Park. It's like this building doesn't know what to do with itself when actually good things happen here.
How excited these people are. There's a winning streak at stake tonight. Look at this young kid.
That's right.
I mean, he's ready for baseball right there. Oh, he's a Yankee.
He's got a Yankees hat.
Oh, that's so fine.
Well,
okay.
He should be excited.
All right. That's fine.
But hey, listen, miracles happen.
Hey, we got you last night, buddy. You know, watch out. Two in a row.
Yeah, take that. Here it comes. Well, it is 93.7 WEEI, and you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also, you can hear us on the Odyssey app and launch a take grenade on there. Press the little microphone button, and we play your messages that you leave on there right around the 5 o'clock hour. By the way, there's an interesting article that I was trying to look up on the Boston Globe. You know, Rob, we're going to talk to Rob Bradford here in a minute when he gets in studio, and it's about, you know, Jaylen Brown and whether or not you can put the toothpaste back in the tube, as they all say.
Train has left the station, Rich.
That's right. And I click on Boston Globe, and there's an editor there, or at least somebody who works for the graphics on the website, who did something very clever, because one of the first articles I see is Hooters closes its last locations in Massachusetts.
Arcan was in tears.
And then immediately underneath it, it says, sudden closing of Seaport's Pink Taco marks the end of the chain.
Well, hey. I thought this was a rejuvenation of the city. Why are things closing?
All they're missing is like Dick's Last Resort closed a couple years ago. So I was never a Hooters guy. If you work in radio, then, you know, especially in sports talk, you've done a couple appearances there. But I have to be honest, it was the only one left, the one that was across from the Loon, the Caloon?
Yeah.
No, there was one down in Norwood? Somewhere down in the south, not South Shore, but what do you call that area? Dedham. Legacy Place.
Yeah. Oh, there was one over that area?
Yeah.
Oh, the old Hoots? Yeah. The wings were too fried. I don't like super fried wings. Like, that was the one thing about their wings.
Not sure you go for the wings, Rich.
Oh, you go for the dames, don't you? Ooh, wowsy. If only people knew there was a thing called the internet.
You saw how excited the Tartan Army guy was for the cheerleaders at Gillette Stadium. I mean, we should have taken him there. It was a missed opportunity.
But that is so weird, though. It's like, yeah, we go there for the chicks. And I'm like, you realize you can just Google things now.
Well, come on. You get out in public and actually have some human interaction.
Sure, I want to leer.
A little Rick Springfield human touch.
I want to creepily leer at them.
They're, you know, friendly. Chat you up a little bit.
Sure. It just seems very, very weird.
No, don't bring this up to Brad, though. He is a Twin Peaks guy when we go down to Fort Myers.
I mean,
the South Florida version.
It's South Florida. Twin Peaks, get it? That means knockers. And it's like, and then there's the other one. What's the other, like, what are they called? Restaurants?
There was a tilted kilt that made it run for a
that's
while.
That's it, yeah. I think the term is restaurants.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, look at these hot chicks, and we got a name with innuendo. Tilted kilt, that means you're going to see some hoo-ha. Those restaurants are just the best.
Well, unfortunately, they're no longer.
And now the Pink Taco is closed. Yeah. So what are we going to do?
What are we going to do? We still got the Squire.
The squat. Oh yeah. Which I think, you know, what's funny is that, you know, I when I was a little kid, I grew up in Atlanta, and then one of my first jobs was in Dallas, Texas, and I just thought for my whole life up to that point that every city had 40 Best Buy sized strip clubs, and then I realized no, it's literally just Atlanta and Dallas, and I just happened to live in both of them, which is insane. I live like right down the street from the only two. I guess strip clubs in the city, you don't even know they're there. Like, you can't even tell they exist.
Tucked away. Is that the old combat zone or no?
It's nothing like the combat zone. Mm. Yep, right. And that they're like so hidden that you wouldn't even know that they're there. I think there's a Tate a block away now. It seems like
nice.
Not quite the combat zone when you have like a French patisserie or whatever you call it right down the street. Well, it's time to start sportsing because we've got a man who knows all about the sports and who just came walking in,
does.
Mr. Rob Bradford.
Yay, baseball.
Well, yay, baseball indeed. So what do you say we talk a little about the Sox, shall we? What happened there?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes, it did. I might have to go double sponsor here because we got Rob Bradford in and we got Sports Happen, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney. For over 30 years, if you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call All Sevens at 617-777-7777. And just so I can spread it out, Rob, I'll get to your sponsor in just a moment.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to spread it out a little bit. First of all, How about last night, huh? Did you have some?
Ah, how about that? Winning a game.
Winning baseball. Fun.
Well, put it in the books, boys. Your Boston Red Sox are playoff bound once again. Let's hear Durbin. I got to inject this in my veins. Come on, give it to me.
Schwitler bent knees on the first base side of the rubber. Payoff pitch is swung on and driven high and deep into left field. It is off the top of the wall and out of here. Caleb Durbin says, a two-run homer, and the Red Sox have erupted, and they lead it 4-2.
He has been holding that one in for a while.
Out of here!
Great job, Flumbling.
High and deep into left field, it is out of here!
That is someone who is working on 1 hour of sleep right there.
He had a little of the voice crack, the Sean McKenna voice crack.
That was quite the phlegmgasm right there.
So good.
Great, but
you should have credited Lorenzo and Gradham G swing.
Yeah, suck it, driveline.
I mean, can you say yell Lorenzo?
Yes, why not?
Hey, no, actually, there's multiple hitting instructors trying to get in on the Caleb Durbin train right now.
Well, all I know is that, so, Caleb Durbin, red hot after having 2 months of just garbage. Like, he has been. I saw somebody last night, and you could probably confirm this. He has a 976 OPS in his last 24 games.
Yeah, since, I think, May 28th, he's been one of the best hitters in baseball, almost 1,000 OPS. And if they aren't having a Caleb Durbin wrestling singlet night here, I don't know. They're not trying.
I'm not joking. Get his batting coach and friend of the show, Lorenzo, down here stat and give the man a job right away. So you're saying there's some imposters trying to
the other guy teacher man who worked with Judge and other guy Richard something or other
teacher man is
yeah,
that
his name is his handle is teacher man. So Durbin had worked with him before. So as we know, Lorenzo comes out with the videos from the get-go. I guess we now compliment him for being out ahead of the curve, not only in terms of hitting, but in terms of social media. But then this other guy jumps in about a couple of weeks ago and had videos of working with Durbin as well.
Okay.
I mean, all that's missing is the Red Sox hitting coaches working with Durbin. So it's kind of incredible. And listen, all this stuff could have put Durbin in a tough spot in the middle of all this. He's handled everything awesome, including, by the way, yesterday, guys.
Yeah.
When we all gather around him, we all talking about, what happened to your finger? Yeah, my finger had like a 90-degree angle. It straightened out when I took my glove off. It's just my finger, just my pinky. Of course, I'm going to play. Like I did this wrestling a bunch of times.
Did you say that really loud next to Roman Anthony?
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of the things where, you know, that's – if you ever were going to, I say wrestling singlet night, because that's exactly what wrestlers would do. Like, yeah. I get like being all over baseball players sometime, but wrestlers, like this is a reason why their ears look so weird all the time. Like they don't care.
Yeah.
Like if you are willing to go through life, put this on the t-shirt, mm-hmm. with cauliflower ear, Ken, then you don't care about anything.
Yeah.
You don't care about anything.
Durbin's one of the few good stories that were – it's right now. I mean, it's awesome. And
it's inspirational.
It is. And you know what else is inspirational? Chuck on line one. Chuck, what's going on, man? How's it going?
Right to the calls.
Oh, boys, thank you for taking my call. I had a way out of this Hooter situation. Me and my buddies all throughout college, we would – in the summers when we were all home, we would go every week for the all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday. It started at $11.99. Over the years, it's inflated. But I don't know what we have done as a country to turn our back on the beautiful thing that are breasts. They have done nothing wrong to us other than feed us, nurture us when we were babies, and have been beautiful the whole way through. And this is what we do. We shame them and put them out of business. I am losing faith.
God bless America, Chuck. There honestly should have been some sort of patriotic music playing behind you as you spoke. But yes, alas, the last Hooters has been shut down.
First Toys R Us, now Hooters? What the hell?
Said nobody ever until now.
All the great institutions are leaving our country.
Weirdest thing I've ever heard. Whoa, first Shame. Legoland and then the golden Shame. Banana?
Listen, on my drive here, I can't confirm that Toys R Us was or wasn't in business, but I did drive by Hooters in Saugus.
Oh, yeah.
And the parking lot was empty.
Oh,
yeah,
sad.
Yeah.
Well, I told Rich, you know, Twin Peaks is the only thing.
Yeah, they've evolved.
They have?
Yeah, well, they filed for bankruptcy last year. I mean, like, I'm going to say this. When they did file for bankruptcy, I got about 15 texts alerting me that Twin Peaks has filed for bankruptcy.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Oh, Ken's a huge hit there.
We made great friends with in fact, very topical because U.S. Bosnia yep. coming up next week.
Otherwise known as the WEI.com Bosnian soccer correspondent.
Yeah, our correspondent Jenny yeah. from Twin Peaks. We became very close with her down there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Bosnia
okay.
Jenny.
Should we get her on the phone to do some play?
I would like it next week, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Sounds like she might need a job.
I mean, I only asked her how to say baseball isn't boring in Bosnian like 10 times, so yeah.
Just an ode to... If anybody else has an ode to Hooters, 617-779-7937.
That was great.
I opened up the Boston Globe online, and it was just amazing how they put Hooters closing right above the Pink Taco closing. It's quite the coincidence.
We did some bits at Hooters and that Saugus Hooters. You remember that?
No.
Oh, you don't? All right. Well,
before my time.
I mean, you remember the Toys R Us bits we did, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did have a girl take me on a date to Hooters.
Oh.
First date, she said she wanted to go to Hooters. I don't know. Maybe it was a test, but it was awesome. I thought it was so cool that she suggested.
That's kind of like the, I want to show you that I'm not like other girls.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Maybe. But which, it works.
One of my biggest dating missteps with my wife was when I bought her a Hooters t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, early in the relationship.
She didn't take
we power through. 30 years later, she still holds it. Again.
That's enough. Well, listen, you got married, so obviously it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? Maybe she actually left.
Who knows? All right. So Craig Breslow spoke this morning on the Greg Hill Show, and I gotta be honest, we were talking about this off the air. It was tough to listen to. Like, Breslow just seems like a beaten down man. But there were a couple of interesting nuggets in there, and I want to get Rob Bradford's take on it. And also, your calls about Hooters, Pink Taco, whatever you want. 617-779-7937. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. It's 937 WEEI. It is Rich, certainly, Ken Laird, Rob Bradford, and we are at Fenway right now, brought to you at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse. Studio, as a matter of fact, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball in that dirty water. I love that clip of Chad Tracy, by the way, because, I mean, if you saw it last night, it was kind of a funny moment where you had, was it Volpe who Volpe. Checked a swing? Okay, yeah. So Volpe checked a swing, and Chad Tracy came out and started going like, hey, man, that wasn't a check swing. Hey, hey, kind of like Brad Stevens getting mad, like not really very mad. And then Andrew Bailey comes out yelling, you effing piece of blank, like as explicit as it could possibly be. And he finally got booted. I haven't seen Chad Tracy, like that was him trying to get angry. And I think he just can't get angry.
I mean, there's still a lot of year left. that umpire, by the way, looked like he was 10 years old.
He did. He looked like a kid.
I felt almost bad for him. Like the adults ganging up on the kid. So.
Is Bailey his attack dog? Is he like getting more of a say in the organization?
I don't know. I mean, hey, we're learning more and more things about this team every single day, right?
There are.
Third basemen can play with dislocated fingers, and Andrew Bailey is the designated attack dog.
All right, so Chad, it was an interesting morning because Craig Breslow did his – semi-weekly appearances. Is that every 2 weeks that he's
They're on? The front office report is every week. He rotates with Sam Kennedy.
Okay. Yeah. So Craig Breslow was on this morning, and it was the one thing that was kind of funny is that, you know, Greg Hill right now, I think he's in Hull doing his road show.
Yeah.
And when they introduced Craig Breslow, you could hear the crowd. It's like, woo! And this one guy goes, do your job! Do something! Like, you can hear it. And you know Breslow's like hearing every single thing because you can hear it on the radio. So he obviously knows that he wasn't very well liked by the crowd that was there. It was tough to listen to. It really was, because it's essentially a guy just, and they asked him good questions, but all the questions are, why are you incompetent? Why are you bad at your job? And he had to kind of sit there and go, yeah, we need to be better. Yeah, we need to do this. We need to do that. And it's like now, ever since a couple of weeks ago where Sam Kennedy just decided that's going to be how we're going to handle this. And it's not, in matter of fact, it's probably the right way to do it, is just to take accountability and say, yeah, we're awful and we need to get better, blah, 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 blah. But this is the first question that, I mean, this one is, I don't know how you answer this, but Craig Breslow tried. And the question was, how do you turn this thing around? And yeah, here's what Breslow
said. In order
said.
For the ship to be righted, you really have to win a whole bunch of baseball games here. Are you honestly believing that this team can do that at this point?
Yes, and you're exactly right. We have to win a lot of baseball games, and we don't have a ton of time to do it. I believe that we're capable of doing it. It's going to require more consistent play on the field. But I see no reason that with the pitching that we have, with the consistency of the starting pitching, with the strength of the back end of the bullpen, that we, can't put ourselves in a position, where we do win those games, but we got to go out and do it. That's the reality of, approaching July, being in last place in the division, not having won as many games as we thought we were going to, heading into this point.
I don't even know what to say. It's just, what else is he going to say?
Yeah, well, first of all, I love the guy saying, do something! It's not just booing. It's like, do something. Okay, all right. I would say this, is that they have not won more than 3 games in a row all year. They've only won 3 games in a row twice, and that was in early May. So, yes, we understand. You pitch well. You have good pitchers. Mm-hmm. You have playoff-level pitching. This is the biggest difference since Alex Cora left, that their pitching is significantly better than it was in the first 3 weeks of the season.
And by the way, 8th straight quality starts, most since 2017.
Fantastic. Great. I mean, and this, but here it is. It's a results business. It's wins and losses. And later in the interview is also telling to me about, and I can't remember if this was the Wiggy give yourself a grade question, which by the way, no way the Patriots said give yourself a grade. Like,
at the midpoint they all said that.
They all said everybody gathered around, and Breslow was smart, by the way, not to say, "Hey, I'm an FD or whatever." It
right,
is,
right.
Because we immediately do quote cards of that. But I think that when he was asked about what he's like, I'm doing what I was brought in to do. I think this is maybe have you talked to Sean Henry? And when he said I'm doing what I was brought in to do, and he cited all pitching things. Mm-hmm. He cited pitching development, pitching program, and that's the first thing that he cited. And I know that he knows it's more than that.
Yeah.
But this is the problem, and you keep coming back to the pitching thing. Yes, we understand this, but the problem, the reason why you are in the last place, the reason why you are in this situation isn't rocket science. It is because you do not have the middle of the order bat, mm-hmm. the consistent bats that allow you to win games, to allow you to get runners in, allow you to come back in games, allow you to win consistently at Fenway Park. That's the biggest problem. I mean, it's not complicated.
Yeah, okay, so I gotta play that again. I talked over it. Let me hear that.
Great job.
That was pretty funny. All right, so if we were talking about this off the air. Like, the one question I'd want to ask Craig Breslow, but I would love it if he had truth serum, because, I mean, I would really like to know what he would say to this, is that if you could go back to the beginning of the season, what would you have done differently? Like, what would you do differently? What do you think if he was injected with truth serum?
Not fire Alex Cora and all the coaches? Although, he wouldn't. I don't think he would say that.
No.
I think this is what we're bringing up the trade deadline now, Rich, and their philosophy and how they're approaching it. They still do believe that their roster, their players, are good enough to actually win, to actually go on a run. Mm. This is why Alex Cora and half the coaching staff was fired, because they said, we believe that the players we got are better than you're allowing them to be. And so, ultimately, that's going to bear itself out, and it hasn't. It just simply hasn't. But they're still digging in on this.
Why are they so delusional about that?
Well, because this is what they've dug it. You cannot say that you're not going to pivot away from it until the very last minute, because they had put all the you-know-whats on the table, because when they fired Cora and the rest of the coaching staff, we think this is the biggest problem. It is not the roster that we put together. And they can talk about it's a long season and so forth and so on, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because you have to – it's not about the season. It's about you have 3-4 weeks to decide whether or not you're going to take advantage of Aroldis Chapman, Sonny Gray, maybe Wilson Contreras. That's your deadline. That's what you have to figure out if you can actually go on a run before that.
You know what's wild? What's really confusing the situation, and probably Breslow, are the standings, because they are three games behind Houston for the wild card in the loss column. They have a 10% chance of making the playoffs. As horrible as this season has been, I don't know how it's possible, but there it is.
Yeah, it's just how many teams are ahead of them though in the wild card?
Oh, probably like eight.
Yeah, it's like eight teams are ahead of them.
Guys,
you know?
Like we can play that game because Houston was like with them, a few weeks ago, and now they're a playoff team. We can play that game, but you're hitting your head against the wall. It's a definition of insanity because we're 3 months in the season.
Yeah.
And you have not won four games in a row, and you've only won three games in a row twice.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Let's go to Jay on line one. Jay, what's up, man? How's it going?
Jay.
Holy moly. Yeah.
Yo.
Hey, what's up, man? You're on.
Oh, my God. Was that Shannon Dull? All I hear is a horse barking.
Shannon Doe? Hang on. Like the Shenandoah Valley? What was that joke?
Shannon Dull. Not Shark.
Shannon Dull. Who is Shannon Dull?
Oh, I wonder if he's hearing Shannon Sharp. He's probably listening in the back room to a Shannon Sharp clip that the.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you're obviously not listening. Yeah, there's no Shannon Sharp here.
Yeah, I was listening to whatever's going on in the background, and I'm like, that guy doesn't have a horse in the race. What the heck are you talking about?
So, it's a Shannon Sharp horse joke. I like that one. Now we're talking. Now we're talking, Jay. You're back on track.
I was calling about Breslow and how he has to get the point across every time by saying, and you know that's what the point is, and I have to tell you what is going on, and it's like, and you know what I mean, and, you know, everything he says doesn't, he's just covering his butt every time he answers a question. It's almost like I get douche chills every time I hear him answer a question. It's very, very nauseating. The guy is
Jay, legit. And we had this, Ken and I had the same reaction. We listened to that interview this morning. We're like, dude, that's tough to listen to.
Yeah.
And it's just the way that he, it's not even that it's just depressing, but I remember I listened to it on the podcast when I was coming in, and you know, in the middle of it, sometimes they interject a little commercial and it was like, oh, thank God. It was like a nice little break. Yeah. It was like a commercial for like car insurance or something. Like, God, I need some car insurance.
They're the big winner. Car insurance.
Yeah. But when Ken Rosenthal's writing, Rob, that he's the dead man walking. Mm. Like maybe we want
to. I want to get to that. We have to quickly break because I want to get to that. And also, Alex Cora spoke for the first time. Now, yes. Rob Bradford, I don't know if you had time to translate it.
Oh, my goodness. The only Spanish I know is baseball, no es aburrido. Mm-hmm. But thanks to AI, we can run the entire 3-hour Alex Cora podcast through the translation.
He spoke for 3 hours. Wow. Okay, well, I want to hear what Alex Cora had to say, and we'll get to all that right after this.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Hey, it's Diz, and we're excited to share that we're donating $50 for every Red Sox double to the American Diabetes Association. Join us as we continue the fight against diabetes and work to find a cure. The next game against the Yankees, another great opportunity to raise money and hope with Doubles for Diabetes, brought to you in part by the Massachusetts Health Connector. Having health insurance is a must-have, and the Massachusetts Health Connector has a power-packed lineup and connector care plans that deliver. At the top of the order, lower premiums make monthly costs affordable. Middle of the lineup packed with low co-pays and no deductibles, so you can save money on everything from an urgent ER trip to managing chronic disease like diabetes and hypertension through no-cost prescriptions. Round out the order, access to connector care plans now at mahealthconnector.org, and you have a winning team with you and the Massachusetts Health Connector. Our tally, up to 137 doubles. That's $6,750 donated. Let's knock some more in this week, boys.
It's really strange, the crowd chanting that old chant that they have here. I guess the standings on the left field board, they can't see those.
They chanted this at the Patriots Super Bowl.
Is that Michael Kay?
Oh, sick burn.
New York?
Hey, well played. I think it's well played. I would do that too.
When's the last title you won, Michael Kay?
Oh,
been a while.
Wow. Oh.
Yo.
Oh. Hold on. It's getting a little back and forth with you and Michael Kay.
Let us have our moment. It was one win. We are, as I said, water in a desert. Come on, let them say Yankees suck for a second, even though it is somewhat depressing.
Well,
to hear
I could
that.
Have said this. The Scots like Boston a lot more than New York.
You bet your ass. They like it better than Miami, too. I miss the Scots. I was talking about this yesterday. Like, the English have been, they were so disappointing when they were here. Like, I thought the English.
Were they even here?
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't know. Yeah. It's like they were down over at the same bars, the same area over near Government Center, Faneuil Hall. And you go down there and they're just politely drinking. But, you know, what, there was a video of them getting on the train to go out to Boston Stadium from South Station, and they look like they're going to work. Like, meanwhile, the Tartan Army, the Scottish people, it's like, no Scotland, no party.
And they're all getting massive wallies.
Yeah, and they talk about their massive wallies. But I just, it's like I was so disappointed. So that way, Germany, and is it going to be Australia? Do we know yet who they're playing?
I didn't check. I got to check up.
Okay, so Germany's coming next week. Germany. You have high expectations, my friend. I mean, come on. You're Oktoberfest.
If Ken isn't wearing lederhosen by Tuesday, we aren't trying.
Unfortunately, it looks like Paraguay.
Oh okay. Yeah. All right, Paraguay could party. I mean, Haiti was great. Iraq had great fans. Like, all of them had, like, huge celebrations out in, like, the Common and going down Boylston Street. And it seemed like a true presence. Even Norway had their one-hit wonder of them doing the row, row, and then they kind of calmed down. But still, that was kind of neat. The English were just boring, like really boring.
Can I make a plea to your listeners?
Of course.
Vast listeners?
Yes.
So, first of all, McFarland to you all.
By the way, Rob Bradford is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com.
The best Scots in the world. Also, the best, best people in the world, the McFarlands. But you guys have a dramatic reach, and I need your listeners' help.
Okay.
I need to get a kilt before July 8th. I'm going to Scotland.
Nice.
Oh, really?
The Baseballs and Boring Army is going to Edinburgh.
Okay.
But I have to represent and respect the moment. I need a kilt. Where do I get a kilt?
I would say Scotland when you go there.
I don't want to buy a kilt in Scotland.
You want to come off the plane.
I want to get on the plane in a kilt. I want to be able to breathe.
That's okay. Let it roll.
Yeah.
You know what? I would have no idea where to do that. Maybe somebody. There you go. If you know, contact Rob Bradford.
Please.
You know, baseball is it? What is your handle again?
Yeah, well, I'm at Bradfo.
At Bradfo.
Yeah. But just any help I can get. I mean, I want to respect the moment. I want to pay it forward for all the nice Scottish people there. I want to be able to drink their beer, pay the money over there, and because it was when we look back at the summer of 2026, we're gonna look back. We're gonna say, oh man, that Red Sox season really sucked. But oh my God, that week was awesome.
Oh, it was great. It's helped save the summer so far. Because then you just got this, and you got everyone, and Jaylen Brown apparently is going to be leaving town. By the way, I'm going to get really mad when we talk about Jaylen Brown.
Oh, really?
The latest news, I mean.
Like Andrew Bailey mad.
Yes, I'm going to get kicked out. I'm going to be ejected. All right, we'll wait. We'll do it in a moment.
If I was going to power rank the summer of 2026, it'd be the Scots.
Mm-hmm.
It would be going the Black Crows with Ken.
Thank you. That was fun.
That was, and it'd be everything else after that.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Well, mushrooms will do that to you. All right. So I want to ask about this Alex Cora interview. Alex Cora, who's been pretty quiet, other than there being a few posts on Instagram, or has he only done one? The one at the plane when that's the only one that he's posted.
Well,
did one with TC Tom Caron.
That's right.
The World Cup.
He also did a Rafi Devers shade post with the.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! 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 Yeah!
Oh yeah! I forgot about that. Yeah. Where it was. Yeah. So hang on. What was the post again? Because I know it had like the emoji of him not saying a word.
Hard to interpret. I'm done interpreting memes since I mispronounced the rapper yesterday. So I will defer to Stiz on that going forward.
Okay. So Alex Cora put out something on his social media. Like right after Rafael Devers refused to be pinch run for, and then he ended up leaving. But is the timing like? Do you think that he did that on purpose, Rob?
I mean, it was. I think. I mean, I don't know this from him, but I would imagine it was a Devers thing.
Okay.
I mean, he's not going to respond to anything Red Sox in public. Even this podcast, from what I understand from my Spanish speaking friends, that it wasn't anything like. Oh my goodness! I can't believe he ripped the Red Sox. I think this was a Devers thing because you go back to his relationship with Devers, the whole thing with Devers last year.
Yeah.
They had an incident, a very similar incident when Devers was here about pinch running. So I would imagine that was the case.
Now, my man Curtis sent me the odds for the next Mets manager, and Cora is a 3-1 second favorite to take over for the fired Carlos Mendoza.
Yeah, well, I I would say so, except with a big except, Ken, that if he has his choice between Dave Dombrowski and David Stearns, it's going to be Dombrowski all day long. So if that job's open, he ends up in Philadelphia. I would be shocked if he doesn't, because if you look at the Mets and the Red Sox, there are so many similarities, including, by the way, the guy at the top of the mast.
Well, it sounds like the team is rudderless right now. They don't really know what to do or how to get out of their own way. But there was one interesting thing. Out of all the things that were said this morning as Craig Breslow was getting booed on the Greg Hill show, there was one nugget that stood out. And do you have that second clip, Stiz, by any chance? Could you play this for us?
Yeah, hold on. Just let me pull it up.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
By the way, Arcan wants to fight me over the interpretation of this, so we need Rob's reaction to it.
All right.
Okay, all right. I would like to hear your interpretation as well. Let's take a listen to this clip, shall we?
Craig, has there sort of an organizational sit-down where you'll decide whether you're going in one way or the other? And who is a part of those negotiations or those conversations within the walls of Fenway Park in terms of the trade deadline?
Yeah, sure. I think the conversations are pretty regular and fluid, and we're constantly assessing where we are relative to the rest of the league. But, you know, in terms of a direction, I will make a recommendation, the one that I think is best for the organization, and sit down with Sam, John, Tom, Mike Gordon, CEO, and kind of state the case for why I think one direction is the right one for us.
There we go. So, man, Theo.
Do something.
Dude, that's right. Do something. But he mentioned Theo.
Yes.
In there.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Because he's an owner. He's part of the ownership group.
But is he in all those meetings?
He's an active part of the ownership.
He's an owner. When you look at the ownership group,
yeah,
it is, he is a part owner. So when he's going to like classify him as an owner, and I don't know where you, in terms of, we've already said this. He's in the room at the winter meetings. He's in the room of the trade deadline.
But that's news to me. This is recently knowledge to me that Theo is active and involved, because our man Noah, the intern, reached out to him and he was like, hey,
no,
I'm not doing anything.
I think it's relative. I mean, what he was citing was the ownership, who he has to deal with. Here's my plan. Here's my approach. I have to go to ownership. And Mike Gordon, another example, he is an owner. But Mike Gordon is the guy who handles Liverpool, but he is an owner. So he's going that when he's answering that question, this is my takeaway, is that it's not so much, I got to vet this through Theo, like every baseball decision, but I have to go through ownership to get the sign off. And when you come to the trade deadline, this is how it works.
Okay, but I love that Theo's involved. Now, Arcan is in at three, like, and he says the opposite. But Arcan says this is a tough look for the Theo should run the team side, because he's been here for the entire implosion and Breslow's his guy.
Once again, I've said this before, is that I think that Theo's impact is overstated. I think that he's
didn't
in
Breslow
the room.
Tell you that he talks to him all the time?
Yeah, he said if he thought that Theo had a problem with something that he was doing, that he would pick up the phone and call him.
That sounds impactful. Rich, does that sound impactful to you?
It does.
Let me ask you this. There's two different things, way to look at Theo. There's the ownership, which is all the owners have to sign off on any move is made. And there's the Theo baseball operations guy. Do you think that Craig Breslow is running everything by Theo, and Theo says, no, you can't make that trade? Do you think that's a scenario?
Yes, I think Theo, I think Theo is who Buster Olney told us was picking up the phone or calling other owners down at the owners' meeting.
Like that was the owners at the owners' meeting.
Fine, that's involved. That is impactful.
Well,
that's
I don't think Theo was at the owners' meetings.
Okay, do you know that?
I'm pretty sure he wasn't. Yeah.
Check your sources.
But my point is that I don't, when Craig Breslow is going to make a trade, I don't think that Theo said, you cannot make that trade. Now, the ownership group can say financially or directionally that you can't make the trade. And I'll give you an example when that happened in 2019, when Dave Dombrowski inexplicably did nothing. The only time that Dave Dombrowski has maybe ever done nothing at the trade deadline. Didn't trade Mookie Betts when they could have got more for Mookie Betts. Why? Because the ownership group said, no, we are going to stand pat. We are going to put your hands behind your back, and you're not allowed to do it.
I think it's significant that he named Theo, and I know he's part of the ownership group, but so is LeBron James.
Good point, Rich.
And LeBron James isn't in those meetings.
Uh-huh.
Well, who do you think has more of a stake in the Red Sox, him or LeBron James?
LeBron James.
No, LeBron James has an ownership group in Fenway Sports Group. So if you're talking about the ownership group of the Red Sox, it's not even close who has more of a stake.
That is correct. LeBron James has a stake in Fenway Sports Group, a larger stake. You're right about that. It's not exactly. But, I mean, wouldn't you say that if
you want to worry about the NASCAR and the golf, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
LeBron James is, you know, so, you know, I think that with baseball, it's no, I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah, well, it is interesting that he actually mentioned that because, I mean, I just love the fact that the one time Theo talked, it was just, he crapped all over Breslow.
He did. He's gotten too robotic. He basically said, right. To paraphrase, I'm disappointed in him.
I know. And it means more when he doesn't talk much. Like when the one time you say something, it's like, yeah.
Get me out of this place.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Robot. All right, 617-779-7937. Oh, we got someone on the phone who's got something nice to say to Mr. Rob Bradford when we get back.
Ooh.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, and in studio with us, Mr. Rob Bradford. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also, go to the Odyssey app. You can follow the show. And leave us a message, launch us a take grenade, and we play those around 5 o'clock. Just press that microphone button and say what you will, and we end up playing it. Let's go to Dermot on line 2. What's up, Dermot? How's it going?
It's going great. Rob Bradford, I hope you're sitting down. This is Dermot from Topsfield, but originally from Dublin, Ireland. I've got a surprise gift for you.
All right.
I think you deserve a kilt. The Bradford family deserves a kilt, so I'm going to generously... locate a kilt for you, sir.
All right.
Oh, how about that? All right. Oh, yeah, Dermot. I love it. That's great.
All right.
Well, you got to understand that the Scottish people are Gaelic people, like my own people from Ireland. So they're our brothers. I've got 2 million of them here in my home in Topsfield. I forgot to tell them it's a dry town. But seriously, I'll follow up. What I need is, and what I will do myself is, I'll research the Bradford name. That'll determine the pattern of the kilt, and I'll follow up with your contact guy on the phone, and I'll make sure it happens. When are you going to Scotland?
I'm going to, I believe it's July 8th or 9th. 9th? Yes. So right around there. Whatever that Wednesday is, I'm going there.
That gives us plenty of time. So trust me, I'm not going to neglect to do this. All of Ireland is listening, and half of Scotland too, the ones who are sober.
Hell yeah.
We will document, it's like the jersey exchange. We will document the kilt going to me, and I will give you a baseballs and boring shirt to you.
Oh, and one last comment. I'll be carrying my 1994 Jackie's Army Republic of Ireland flag from when we were last in the World Cup over here. So listen, that's great, guys. Great show, and I'll talk to your guys, you know, to make sure I follow up on this.
Thanks, right. Dermot. I appreciate it. Put him on hold if you don't mind.
So I was going to ask, how would I know who he is and identify him? Clearly, if he's going to be walking down the streets of Topsfield with a flag and a kilt, I'm like, oh, there he is.
I am learning so much about, like, foreign relations. I didn't realize that the Scottish and the Irish were so tight because when we did that story about how the Dubliner, where all the Scots had been drinking, that when they shut it down for the one day that the England match was on, you know, basically because nothing is happening in Boston today, like the people on Instagram and everything, we got like what 1.5 million views. Crazy. And it's all people from like Scotland and Ireland going, oh, our Irish brothers, they love them. I didn't realize it. I guess it's, what is it, like an enemy of mine is a friend of mine, or is that enemy of my friend is.
And Robert Kraft is trying to take all their money with football games.
Apparently.
But the problem there is, correct me if I'm wrong, Bradford traces all the way back to the Mayflower and the original William Bradford.
Yeah.
And that is Old English. Oh. So that is dangerous territory.
Although, Ken, I didn't want to bring this up to him, but my mother's maiden name was Mackay. What are we talking about?
She's a big Fugazi fan.
Yeah. Exactly. I guess.
That's nice. For all you punk rock.
That is like hardcore Scottish. So I'm good. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Already.
Yeah. All right. I want to ask you something real quick about this Ken Rosenthal report that came out where he said that Craig Breslow is the next to go. Am I paraphrasing him correctly?
No, it's a matter of time. It was the way he ended the paragraph.
Yeah, I think that this is, but was it this, when Alex Cora and the coaches were fired, it was understood, hey, you know what? The bullseye is only on one person. And either this is going to work or it isn't. Yeah. And it hasn't worked. And we've said this. When you get to the end of the year, if not before, if it hasn't worked, I don't know how you don't make some tough decisions when it comes to the front office.
Mm-hmm.
It just is what – and I think that's what Ken was saying.
Yeah.
It's just the continuation of things. I mean, there is no way around it. There is nobody else to blame. Once Cora and the coaches were fired, it is clearly we are doing it the right way. And that's what we heard this morning on the Greg Hill Show. Hey, we think that our roster is good enough. We think that we have the right guys. All right, that's cool. But you got to win more than three games in a row more than twice.
Are they going to scare? That was great. Are they going to scare other quality candidates away from taking his spot? Because, I mean, it was already tough enough to get Craig Breslow. Would they go through 12 people who interviewed before Breslow ended up getting chosen? Is this a position that's not desirable anymore?
I think that's one of the things that – when you say, is Craig Breslow going to stay around? That's one of the things that suggests that he actually might longer than a lot of people think because they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
They knew this. They knew that narrative. That you're exactly right. Yeah. The narrative was four and done. And in this case, it's less than four and done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're trying to push that narrative away, but there's no way around what's going on now. There just isn't.
Now, do you think? Can I pivot to a little Celtics Red Sox crossover?
Sure, I'm looking at you, expert.
But it has a baseball tie-in. So you were here for the 04 chasing Steinbrenner, right?
Yeah, and, 03. Yeah, yeah.
And you remember very well. Nomar wanted out. Shaughnessy wrote about this today how Manny withstood trade rumors and stayed the course, and he stuck around to great success. Do you see any comps there with the Jaylen Brown thing? Like, hey, it got bad with Manny, it got ugly, but the Celtics could save the Jaylen Brown situation the way they did with Ramirez.
So you bring up Nomar. I'm trying to follow you. So you're basically comparing Manny and
Jaylen. Well,
unlike
Nomar, who just there was no.
Hey, you go back to the Manny time. Think about how many times they tied themselves in the knots to make that work all the way till the end when it just became when you're pushing the traveling secretary, it's done.
That's the final straw.
And Manny, you remember that also, he freaked out about them not picking up his option. Everything went off the rails starting at the All-Star game that year in 2008. But up until then, from 2003 all the way through 2007, think about how many things that you dealt with, far more than Jaylen Brown. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's not even a question. I don't think this Jaylen Brown thing is even on the Manny radar.
The only thing that potentially is happening, Rich, and this is just a guess, is that he and Tatum hate each other's guts or something. Like, it's really bad. Like Tatum said, get him out of here. Was that anything like that going on with Manny where there were other players that were like, I can't deal with this guy?
Yeah, well, they were just like, why do we have to answer for Manny all the time? There was absolutely that. But Manny wasn't that guy where he was – yeah, people would get frustrated all the time about stuff that Manny did. But he was so good, they're like, oh, it's – you know – the Manny being Manny thing.
Yeah,
I mean, there is no one saying it's Jaylen being Jaylen.
Not yet.
All right. I have to ask you this. I'm sorry, because you have a couple minutes left, and this is something I meant to get to, and I'm kicking myself for not asking you earlier. So Sean McAdam wrote something saying that some in the Red Sox organization are questioning Marcelo Meyer's mental toughness, his tendency to withdraw during slumps, and his willingness to play through inevitable minor physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard anything about that?
No, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if someone said something. I mean, I trust Sean heard that from somebody. But when I look at Marcelo Meyer, I look at a player who, it's painted about whether they win or lose or not. I mean, we watch the guy. We're in the clubhouse. We see how they act. I think this guy really lives and dies in terms of success or failure. That part of it, I get.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down the injury road because I don't think necessarily that's the case. I just look at it, this is a guy who should be platooning at this stage in his career with Roman Gonzalez at second base. He's not producing. It's, you know, everything is sort of blood in the water when it comes to this stuff. And I think another part of this report or this equation is one of the things that we keep talking about. Sure, Trevor Story can be a leader. Sure, Wilson Contreras can be a leader. But to have, I don't know if you guys saw the Freddie Freeman Dalton rushing thing. So Dalton Rushing is a young catcher for the Dodgers. He was having this terrible game, and they just show Freddie Freeman in the dugout with him, next to him, just talking to him over and over. And I know that Trevor Story has done that in the past, but you need those guys. You need the guys Marcelo Meyer can be part of this equation, but you need a leader in baseball as a guy who can help you get through 162 games and not a guy who's going to put a stool in the middle of the room and be, hey, guys, let's go.
Yeah.
And maybe what this Marcelo report or conversation is about or search and surface is that sort of thing, that they need more of those guys.
Are you going to talk to the players? Have you already done it or are you about to do it?
4 o'clock. Late. Everyone's tired off the flight. You know?
Oh, sure. Yeah. They finally got their sleep. Yeah. That's a good thing to ask Marcelo, I think. It's like, what do you think that this report says somebody in the organization is questioning your toughness?
Your mental toughness.
Right. Like, that's big deal. Matter of fact,
incendiary.
Remember what I was saying is that the one thing about this season, as bad as it's been, you haven't heard any kind of sniping or anything like that. I think the dam might have burst.
Maybe.
Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, no, because it can be just like, I can't control what somebody says, because it's not going to, if it came from a teammate, like, that would have been
someone inside the Red Sox organization. Yeah. Some in the Red Sox organization.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a...
Maybe. But what his answer will be like, well, I can control whatever people think. The players in there are thinking along those lines.
Yeah.
And for that would be the most damning thing. And you mentioned, well, nothing has come up. The only thing that's a semblance of that coming up with the little back and forth with Wilson Contreras and Marcelo Meyer, which evidently Wilson Contreras said, no, it would get lost in translation.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now he has to use a translator in interviews because of it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that
would And that was so far, but so long ago that I totally forgot about it, actually. You're right. I was thinking of the IKF thing when he was talking about how there's just too many people around.
Well, we did have Cora talking about the young guys with contracts. He got upset about that. You know, basically, there are too many young guys on the team.
Well, I think that comes back to what I was saying, though, about I think that Cora understands exactly the whole leadership thing. Yeah. It's all right to have young guys. That's cool. But you also have to have the guys when Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony or whoever hit the inevitable bump in the road and go through something like this. Hey, gather around. Let me tell you about this. You know?
Well, Rob, great stuff. Rob Bradford, right. Baseball Isn't Boring. You can read his stuff.
Oh, I got a kilt.
And he's got a kilt. How about that?
Yeah, our listeners, kilts.
They have hooked him up with a kilt. And how about that? You're going to be ready for Scotland balls a flapping.
There you go. I feel bad. For, Jen. I feel bad for whoever's sitting in the row in front of me in the airplane.
That's right. Just you got to practice standing up properly.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Well, Rob Bradford, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right. When we get back, and it's only 2 minutes. We'll be back in 2 minutes. This Jaylen Brown thing. There's a story that came out today where I don't know what the hell Brad Stevens is doing. I couldn't be, if this story is true, he effed this thing up so badly that I am questioning everything I ever thought about Brad Stevens. We will get to that right after this.